I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Tune the Think Tank, the podcast where we come up with
five
sketch ideas.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall. And joining us today is a fellow writer on Mad as Hell, David M. Green.
Hello. Oh my God, I'm actually here. This is cool.
I can't believe that we finally remembered to invite you. And I apologize 1,000 times for having worked with you for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's almost five.
And I want you to know that at least
that was before you were doing the podcast, though.
Some of it was before, and then part of it would have been during the 3-year gap I think we took where we didn't
3-year gap
where we didn't do the pod,
right?
And now you're in the sort of the 2-year
gap
of us doing the pod.
The gap between our breaks from doing the podcast.
Yeah.
So you took a sabbatical in there.
Not on purpose. We just accidentally stopped doing it. Frequently, partially, what is it, because we stopped living in the warehouse, or is it just we even stopped doing it while we were living in the warehouse?
I think we even stopped doing it while we were living in the warehouse. We had absolutely no excuse, Alistair, and I can't identify what happened. I don't know. Maybe we could go back and listen to some of the recordings, and there'd be like telltale signs, and the way that my voice breaks when I, you know, I look in your eye or something like that, and we can tell that all's not okay in the tank.
But there was some tension, maybe.
It could have been some tension. You know,
but you return to it. That's good. Most podcasts just stop,
just fizzle and die. And we didn't want to let that happen.
Yeah.
We try to being
all of mine have done that.
I'm sorry to hear, but you know what? I want you to get some hope from this, knowing that they can come back.
They can fizzle and start.
Yeah, they can fizzle and start.
That's what happens with a lot of explosions.
That's what happens with a rocket.
Yeah.
And especially these SpaceX reusable rockets.
You can fizzle in.
All right. So is this sponsored by SpaceX?
Well, look, we're trying to get him on board. Elon won't return our tweets.
We should insult him in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should not help him rescue people from a cave. And then he'll probably insult
Well, actually, to be fair, we have never helped him. We're constantly not helping him rescue people from a cave.
Well, I don't know what you're doing wrong.
I challenge you to find someone in the world who has helped Elon Musk less to rescue children from a cave. That's...
I guess somebody
the children in the cave, possibly.
That's true.
That's true. They're the only people who've helped him.
Well,
less.
But then again, there was nobody, you know, he couldn't have even had the possibility to rescue children in the cave if it wasn't for those children in the cave.
Ah, so that's another way to look at it.
They're in a way that they're the most crucial people. They're the people who have helped him the most so far.
Yeah.
So they'll... I mean, I don't want to say you're wrong, but you are absolutely, you could not be more wrong. I guess maybe the person who stopped him was the most. It was maybe the person who said, no, we don't need your help.
Yeah, but even that person, you know, has probably like taught him some kind of valuable lesson about next time for helping rescue children from a cave, you know, about modifying his approach or something like that. I think we who are uninvolved in any way living on the opposite side of the world, you know, we're the true bystanders, you know?
Yeah.
People always talk about who are the true heroes.
Mm.
I want to know who are the true bystanders.
Sure, absolutely.
Because a lot of the people who bystand, you know, obviously you affect things by observing them. That's
the bystander effect.
The bystander effect.
Actually, no, that's doing nothing. The bystander effect is a bystander doing nothing.
Right. But that affects other bystanders to also do nothing? Is that the bystander effect?
Yeah. Everyone thinks someone's doing something, but actually everyone is doing nothing.
Right. So, and I think that by doing nothing in that situation, they're actually doing something.
So wait, is this...
That's what they think.
So there's got to be, out of all of this, there's got to be a first person who's doing nothing, like a patient zero of doing nothing, who makes everybody else think that somebody's doing something.
By the way that they did nothing?
Maybe. Or maybe they're doing nothing in a way that makes them think that they're taking action to save a person.
Right.
Is that what we're talking about? Is that what the bystander effect is?
The bystander effect is someone will do something. Not someone specific, but just like someone from this group will do something, therefore I don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
Right? Not that somebody is currently doing something, therefore I don't need to do anything. That's quite reasonable. Mm. Like, you can't blame the bystander effect if a paramedic is giving somebody CPR and everyone else isn't involved.
Sure.
Because they're just being responsible by not going in and saying, here, no one's doing anything.
Yeah.
Well, I am. I'm a paramedic. I'm performing CPR. You know.
Yeah, it would
be... That's a really bad bystander, by the way.
It would be horrible, first of all, to go and accuse that person while they're giving CPR of being a bystander, and this is the bystander effect.
Mm.
This is the bystander effect at play right here. 3, 5, 6. But I mean, if he's completely unsuccessful...
3, 5, 6.
He's writing a song while he's doing the thing.
3, 5, 6.
Well, that's the thing, is that they say that you should give CPR whilst saying, you know, staying alive. But also, you could just use that as an opportunity to write a song that goes at the same BPMs as Staying Alive.
Yeah, and another way to think about it,
3, 5, 6.
When you're performing Staying Alive, you do it. It helps if you're performing CPR at the same time, so that you can keep the beat.
Keep the beat.
You know,
to tap in. You know, because that's the drummer's job, right? The drummer's got to tap in everybody so that they know what speed to start playing at.
Right.
That's why they always play Hospitals.
This is at the
Bee Gees.
At the Bee Gees, they're always...
big on the Hospital circuit.
Of course, yeah. The Gibb brothers, and obviously...
I think they're big at the Hospital circuit because they've all been very ill recently. Isn't that the reason they've been doing a lot of Hospitals?
Yes, but that's led to them playing Staying Alive... on, like, in good time, much more. So they're, you know, that's the trade-offs there, is that, you know, yes, okay, yes, some of you are sick and sort of, you know, some of you are fading away.
Some of you are dead.
But you're playing some of your best work, which is Staying Alive, but you're playing it as the best you've ever played it.
Imagine if you were a person performing CPR on one of the Bee Gees. I mean...
Stay alive.
Might be self-conscious, I think.
Yeah.
I can't do it better than this guy.
I mean, maybe CPR. I mean, he's unconscious.
Bystander effect. I think it's stage fright.
But then there's a part of your mind that might also think that if this goes well, they might get me in the band.
That is very true. Or if it goes badly... it might shock him back to life just out of indignation. But imagine if you were the Bee Gee and that was the last thing you heard as your consciousness faded from your mind. It was a bad karaoke version of Staying Alive. The best thing would be to have Staying Alive CPR performed on you by a member of the Bee Gees.
I think that's the best outcome you could get at a hospital.
At a hospital, like
where there's doctors present who can take over once he's messed up.
I think okay. So this is the scenario: it's a hospital. Somebody goes into cardiac arrest at the same time as the Bee Gees are doing a tour of the hospital because they're performing a benefit concert.
Yes,
right. And the doctor is about to start performing CPR, and then he realizes, obviously, he would just be trying to keep time with Staying Alive in his mind, but clearly the person most qualified to do that in the room is one of the members of the Bee Gees.
And the Bee Gees, who are playing. So you're just accompanying the Bee Gees, right? And the Bee Gees, they're getting their cue on timing from somebody else performing CPR which
elsewhere.
Is, as we said.
The reason that that's the beat is because they always had somebody performing CPR in one of their concerts.
Are there other medical procedures you can do
to the time of
other Bee Gees songs?
Other Bee Gees songs.
Get your appendix out to jive talking.
Yes.
That work?
Yeah.
They are the basis of Western medicine.
I started a joke. That's the greatest thing for getting a penis enlargement.
Spicks and Specks?
Is that one of their songs?
Yeah.
I don't like that word spicks in there.
I don't like it. I don't like it either. I mean... and you want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they probably meant the other meaning of it.
I don't know what the other meaning is.
But I don't
is.
Think there is
like
another
a
meaning.
Small thing, right?
No, that's a speck.
Oh, it's a speck.
They've got that. That's in there. They've already used that. It's right next to it for comparison. So they know the difference between those two words as well. They're not confused. So we got.
Wait. Was the other. Okay, look. I don't know. What is the other meaning?
Of spics? I that's what I'm saying. I don't think there is one.
Oh. Oh, right.
I was asking.
There must be, right? Because why would they call it that?
I don't know if it's spick or spec, possibly something very in the middle of those two words. Mm. It's actually a Swedish word, which means a small fish.
I think that's spec again.
Is that spec?
Still spec.
The way Annika pronounces it, though, it sounds a bit more like spick, I think.
Oh,
it's my Swedish Swedish girlfriend.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, my...
You seem like a real idiot now.
My girlfriend actually is a small fish. And
does she speak English?
Swedish. And I don't understand a word she's saying.
Yeah, welcome to my world.
Mm, yeah.
Look, okay. Yeah. I've written down performing CPR and the Bee Gees. I've just written Bee Gees CPR.
There's a sketch in there. You know, I like the one where the doctor defers to the Bee Gees and gets them to do CPR. Even though they're actually not qualified and the patient dies as well. But still, it was a beautiful performance.
Tragedy.
Everyone applauds and gets them to, I don't know, sign the chart or something like that. Maybe the patient was also a huge fan. Not of the Bee Gees, but he was
of getting CPR.
It was his favorite method of resuscitation.
This is going good. It's like, I've never thought that this would go so good. I don't know, get the doctor to sign his bruised rib cage. Look, the one true bystander thing, that's what you started with?
Yeah, wait, maybe.
That's how we got here. So that's based on us, is a saying, one true hero?
Yeah, oh, that's right. Sorry, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, okay, so who was the true hero in this scenario?
Well,
who was the true bystander? So somebody definitely did something, but somebody definitely did nothing. The person who did the least, they're the true bystander.
Mm. But they would be the most innocent person as well.
Oh, except that bad things happen when good men do nothing. So I guess you want to be...
This is where you're going. But then you want somebody who did something, but who's innocent, completely innocent. Right, because then if they did nothing, then they're a villain.
They are a villain.
Assuming they're a good man.
Well, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. What you really want to be a true bystander is you wanted to be a bad man doing nothing,
okay.
Which cancels out the effect of good men doing nothing.
Yeah.
By virtue of the fact that if you're as a bad man, if you'd done something, it probably would have been bad.
Yeah.
So you need to be a little bit evil, I think, in order to be a true bystander.
So if bad things happen when good men do nothing, do good things happen when bad men do something? Is that how it works?
I mean, logically, it makes as much sense as anything I've ever heard.
Did you just prove that crime is good?
Crime happens because good people are doing nothing.
Exactly. Therefore, the absence of crime happens. Good things happen when bad people do something. Bad people do crimes, therefore...
They're doing something.
Yes, and therefore the something that they do is good. Therefore crime is good.
Or good things happen after the crime.
Or...
Long term.
Or doing crimes is nothing. So good things happen when bad people do something. So when they do... Crimes are bad things. So that means that... You could also get that equation by
nothing.
When if doing a bad thing is nothing,
which is
right on. Look, I don't believe that one. But I think in order to be a true bystander, you have to be a bad person.
Mm.
You know, so that you can not be accused of doing bad by doing nothing.
And I think, does that mean, should we be in some way applauding these people? Like, you know, when we give out the bravery awards for, there were a bus rolled onto a petting zoo, right? There were good people there. There were bad people there. There were people who actually did stuff.
Mm.
The good people who didn't do anything, they're no good. But if there was a bad person who didn't do anything, you know, even though they would have been tempted to go in there and like fiddle with the goats or something like that,
yeah,
while everyone was distracted,
yeah, touch a goat,
you know,
hey, those are prize goats.
There should be some sort of award for restraint.
Well, I think that they're doubly good because they're not only not doing a bad thing. Well, that's the thing. So they're not. They're a bad person doing nothing.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yes.
But then they're also not doing a bad thing, which is also good.
Yes.
You see? So they should get two awards, maybe. I'm not sure.
Can one of them be the bystander medal? A medal just for bystanders? Mm.
I think so, yeah.
So you didn't do anything, but you didn't do anything to, you know, make it worse. So
Yeah, exactly. So that would be then the bad guy medal.
Yeah.
Which you only give to bad guys when they do... You know, it's the opposite of... Because I think we are often punishing bad people for doing bad things. But we're not... We're never rewarding bad people for not doing bad things.
Mm.
You know?
There needs to be a system of...
Like a reverse jail.
Yeah.
It's just a reward, isn't it?
Well, it could be. Or it could just be a nice room that you put them in forcefully.
A nice jail.
Against their will.
And like, you get to go to nice jail.
This sketch is called Nice Jail.
Keep this up. You'll be on your way to nice jail. 3 to 5.
And it's
minutes.
Really nice. Like, you know, yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Like, you think, like, nice long benches, you know, covered in really beautiful upholstery.
Oh, Alistair. Oh, this sounds so nice. How long are the benches?
I mean, 3 to 5 meters.
Oh.
That's the worst thing about regular jail. The benches are too short.
Uncomfortably short.
You can only fit 2-3 people on this bench.
What is going on with these jails?
Some of our friends have to stand. All our social groupings are bigger than that here in jail.
Bad jail is what they would then call it after good jail exists. Or nice jail, sorry.
Or just jail could be jail, the regular jail.
Jail is what we can
there's
call
jail,
it.
There's jail jail and there's nice jail.
You know, this is a stand-up comedian in jail jail. You know what I hate about jail jail?
It's the benches.
Bench lengths.
I guess you have to be here. Which you do.
Look, I think nice jail. I mean, how do you decide that somebody's bad? Is it because they've already been to jail or they've been in trouble? If you get arrested once or you have any trouble with the law, suddenly now you're in the running for nice jail.
Well, I mean, what if the police see you in the street? You look real sus.
Mm.
They pull you over or they search you or something like that.
Yeah.
And they can't they got nothing on you.
Yeah.
They shouldn't just send you on your way. They should send you to nice jail.
Well, no, but then, yeah, I guess that's true, yeah. But also, that's the thing, is that people who look dodgy, right, they often get negative impacts of that because they get harassed by the police.
Oh, sure.
That. So we can balance that out by introducing nice jail so that people get harassed, but then they get forced to go to a really nice room with beautiful long benches.
Really honestly, soft bars. You should see the length of these benches.
You know, yeah.
And the bars are like a meter and a half apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But luxuriously far from each other.
But okay, but then what is the opposite of... Because it feels like we now also need the opposite of whatever police are. You know, who are people who will stop you in the street if you look good and just...
So like,
strip search you, searching for signs that you're even better than you look.
Do you think maybe they strip search themselves and put things in your pockets?
But not evidence of crimes.
Not evidence of crime. Maybe evidence of no crimes.
So the police stop you in the street, strip search themselves.
They're looking all around there, like their crevices and their pockets of their things, for a little sort of a certificate they have to congratulate you on not committing any crimes. Nothing?
Okay, what here's a different, slightly different. I mean, that's very funny, but I got distracted thinking about my own.
Of course, thing. Look, it's hard sometimes to hold on to a conversation when you have to both think and listen.
I don't know how people do it.
Yeah, we just.
And I don't know why. That's for sure.
Mm.
What was I thinking about? I was thinking about some sort of other police force, right? Because the police are walking the streets. But then the police feel like they're above the law, and it feels like there should be other police who also walk the streets, and then when they see other police, they can stop them and search them.
They can search police?
Yeah, they can search the police.
Do they think that they're beneath the law?
They're beside it. Okay. they're beside the law, and they watch the watchers.
Could the fashion police do that? Is that in their jurisdiction?
Oh, it'd be nice to give them something else.
Because they're searching through the clothes, right?
Yeah, that's right. They are looking through your clothes, and they could congratulate you on your outfit, which is that could be what they're putting in your pockets. Mm. Which your ears are kind of like the body's, the head's pockets, and they're putting little congratulations.
Are the ears
in
like the head's pockets?
I lost.
So the mouth is more like the pocket of the head.
Hmm. If at a pinch you had to put your wallet somewhere in your body, in your head.
And assuming size is no issue here.
Size is no issue.
It's a very small wallet, or you have extremely large ears.
You can change your wallet to fit the pocket, right? This is in this scenario.
Okay. Like,
you know, and all your cards could be adapted. There's no need for cards to be as big as they are. They could be a sliver.
They could be as small as like that little chip that you get in your mobile phone these days, the nano SIM.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, which orifice in your head would you keep your wallet at all times?
Probably the ear. It's got a little bucket there.
Yeah.
Just in the outer ear.
Thank you. Right? I mean, I didn't want to.
You're right. You're right. And nothing else is really coming or going out of there.
Exactly.
It's like kind the of, other orifices?
Yeah, yeah. The nose, there's a chance that you'd breathe in your wallet.
No, but you think about the ear. It's hard to get. If anything goes too far into the ear.
Mm.
You're in real trouble getting stuff out, right? Like the nose and the mouth, the body has systems for getting things out.
But Andy.
But the ear.
You don't think they've thought of that?
Who?
The people.
the people. Ear people.
Yeah, the ear wallet people. I mean, don't you think
I'm
that's
sure
the first,
they know what they're doing.
I mean, isn't that the first problem you're solving here when you're making a wallet for the ear?
But you're one of these people who always just trusts in the corporations and you're happy to sit back and just say, look, they wouldn't do anything that's not in my best interest. They're a corporation. They don't care about you and your ear. Okay, they just have to make a quick buck. They're selling you this fucking ear wallet. They haven't looked into the consequences. We don't know. That could cause cancer.
Maybe in early incarnations of the ear wallet. But I think if you want repeat business.
Oh, so all the early ear wallets, they were proven to cause cancer.
Well, I'm not saying they caused cancer. I think maybe they went in and they pierced your eardrum. There's a chance of that for somebody who didn't think about it.
Yeah, right.
But then
that's been sorted out.
Then the Apple computers of ear wallets comes along, some visionary Steve Jobs type guy.
Who takes the existing technology.
He looks at existing technology like earplugs and wallets. And
wow, are you saying the first people didn't do this?
And puts it together. I mean, you know, there's a chance that it started with just a guy who was like, I'll just roll up my, you know, all my money and just put it in my ear. That's how it could start. Because, I mean, it would start with a guy who didn't have pockets anywhere, maybe. Or who
just
was just a head.
Trying to just live there, you know. Feel freer, less tied down by that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. And I like saying, look, the body already has all the pockets we need. You know? It's some sort of minimalism thing. It's like, we have everything we need right here.
Mm. I mean, that would be great for like a big, you know, like at a women's march.
Mm.
And maybe they're kind of saying like you know what, we actually don't need pockets. That's a construct that men created. They made us carry things that are big and that force us to think that we need pockets and then deprive us of pockets. It's a control mechanism.
You're right. Yeah.
Like that, right? And then they go...
But we don't even need pockets. Our bodies have everything we need.
Our body has enough pockets. And then introducing the ear wallet.
Great.
Like that. And that's when they use a women's march for this to launch this new product.
It was a fake. It was a sort of a stunt thing that they did, a marketing campaign where they got all the women together in a big rally for women's issues in the city.
Yeah.
And then they sort of sold their ear wallet product. Anyway, it went really well for them.
It went really well. And people
were so persuaded by the technology.
I think just shrinking down cards, you know, I think it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
What about like a little sliver and it's got just a projector on it, so you can just project your card onto the wall. Each thing is just an LED. It's just a little thin LED. You just press on it. You just squeeze it and it creates a charge. It's that piezoelectric effect. You know about that?
Yeah.
And they'll just project all the information onto the wall.
And then what, you write it down or something?
Well, no, it's like your ID. You don't, when you give somebody your card, you then go, oh, I better write this down.
And what about when you're just doing a credit card or something like that?
And you just scan it. You project it onto the
FPOS machine.
FPOS machine or the cashier or something like that.
Yeah. What's the little thing that's projecting? How big is it?
It's the size of a thin LED.
Right. So it's like a ear size.
Well, it's just a thin sliver.
Yeah. That would go into your ear.
It goes into your ear, yeah.
Great. I love the idea of thin slivers of stuff, putting them in my ear.
I think it's like it'll look like a little camping size matchbox. Mm. You know, one of those ones. It's like a little circular one that you keep those waterproof matches that you would keep, like, you know, that they have in the army or something like that.
I've never seen that, but I can imagine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there a way you could have this in your ear and not have to take it out of your ear? So it just sort of projects out the side of your head.
That would be really nice. Yeah.
You squeeze the lobe, the ear feels like something that could project light out of it.
Although you'd have to sort of turn sideways to the cashier. You wouldn't actually be able to check to see that it's the right card because it's coming out the side of your head. It'd be in your periphery.
Yeah.
Can you read that back for me?
How about this? Okay. How about this?
Is that the right one?
There's a mirror on the inside of your ear.
Great. Here, in that little fold.
Yeah. In that fold there.
A prism?
Yeah, like a prism that redirects the light a little bit forward, like that. And then you can cycle through your cards by just pressing your lobe over and over again, like that. And you can just go, where is it, where is it, where is it, like that. And you go,
oh, this sounds so bam. Much better than having a wallet.
Well, I'm just saying you're freeing you yourself of the... Yeah, you're freeing yourself of the oppression of
pockets.
Yeah, you know, pockets and manhood and things like that.
We're in the pocket of big pocket, and I'm sick of it. Can we, I don't see why the ear needs to be just like a big open hole like that, right? Because there's no, apart from wallets, obviously, there's no real call for things to go in and out of the ear. Like, why doesn't it have a little grating over the end or something to stop bugs getting in there?
Well, I think that's what the ear hair does, right?
It doesn't do it very well. I think a grating.
Are you constantly getting bugs in your ears?
I'm constantly worried that I will.
Yeah.
And you read the stories about somebody, something flew in there and then they got like, terrible migraines. Wasn't there some ancient king or something who had a scorpion crawled into his ear and he went mad or possibly, you know?
That'd be such a shame.
Started charging all this stuff to his account.
Damn scorpion. Yeah. I mean, and think about it. Like, you've won the lottery. You've been born king.
Mm.
But then you essentially win the lottery twice with... You're not only born king, but then you have this really unlikely scenario in which a scorpion climbs into your ear and makes you insane.
I feel like I've won the lottery.
It's not a good lottery. It's a bad lottery.
It is a bad lottery, you know. But I'm sure, you know, kinghood also has its own.
But if we're going to have a good jail, we might as well have a bad lottery.
Well, it's a nice jail.
Nice jail.
Nice lottery, and there's the bad lottery.
Yeah, and lottery. And we should, we should also invent the lottery where you pay money and... something really bad could happen to you.
We have talked about lotteries as well, but this is very cool. Mm. I love it. Because at the moment, the lottery goes from no money up to about $300 million is sort of like where they've maxed out, isn't it? So I mean, you. Why doesn't it go into the negative as well?
Well, I think that this
That's the cost of the lottery ticket.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, okay. But it, so far, even then, it doesn't go that far into the negative. It goes
depends
into,
how many you buy.
All right. It does depend how many you buy. You're right. But at a certain point, you're not going to spend more than $300 million on lottery tickets, are you, for any given lottery?
Yeah, maybe if I won the lottery and I had that much disposable income, I might spend that much on lottery tickets.
Well, then you're insane, and there's no hope for you, is there? Because you've won more money than anyone has ever won on the lottery, and you've spent all of that money on another lottery, hoping to win back, I assume, the money that you had to begin with.
It's like that expression when something happens to you that's fortunate or lucky, they say, "Well, you better buy a lottery ticket." Oh, I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket. But what if the lucky thing that happened to you was actually winning the lottery? Yeah, I kept winning the lottery. I had to keep buying lottery tickets.
Jeez, you better.
I kept after buying $300 million worth of lottery tickets, and but that's the thing is that the money doesn't bring you happiness, but winning the lottery does. You see. And so the feeling that you're trying to get back.
That's why you want to win the lottery. The lottery.
You go, oh my God, I'm so lucky.
You say, when people say, I feel like I've won the lottery.
This is like a day in nice jail.
It's like, I have $300 million at home. I feel like I've won the lottery. No. You know, you get an extra bit of bacon in your sandwich. Then, you know, I feel like I've won the lottery.
Mm.
The bacon lottery.
Yeah, life.
I've thought of how lottery could work, right? This is the way it could work. It's a billionaire who wants to be able to do something really horrible to a person, right? Oh, so you go to the lottery store, and they'll give you roughly $22.
Yep.
Right? And then you've got one chance of having this really horrible thing done to you, right? And at some point, somebody wins that lottery, and then, like, the billionaire gets to, like, pull all their limbs off or something one by one or whatever like that. And they're allowed to do
it. One by one. Yeah. Oh. I mean, you know, I think limbs are like Band-Aids, you know? You want to just get it all off at once. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe that's too horrible.
I mean, it's a big lottery, you know? And because the benefit that you get is the $22, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you think, it's not much, you know, it's $20, you know, and maybe.
And what are the chances? What are the chances? Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's really good for people who don't enter the regular lottery, good lottery. Nice lottery. People who don't enter the nice lottery are almost, because they always have the argument, what are the chances of you winning that? You're crazy. You're just throwing away $20, right? They, by their logic, should definitely enter the lottery because what are the chances of you getting all your limbs pulled off?
Yeah, exactly.
You're just getting $23.
Yeah. And you could get you could get $300 million worth of lottery tickets in one go.
Mm. Keep going in.
That really increases your chances of getting all your limbs pulled off. But
sure,
if you don't...
He's only going to pull your limbs off once, right?
That's true. Right? And as long as this rich billionaire doesn't have one other sick thing that he wants to do to a person...
Well, I pulled all your limbs off, but I'm out of ideas.
Is the head a limb for this purpose?
The head could be seen as a limb. What do you think? What about the ear?
That's more of a pocket.
Yeah. If your wallet's in there.
Yeah, that's true. But what about the outside of the ear?
The lobe? The lobe and the... What is the rest of the ear? Is that just ear?
The outer ear.
The outer ear. Yeah.
Oh, so it's like the clitoris. You know, only a little bit is showing.
No, I think a lot of it is showing. I think it's the opposite of the clitoris. I think it's mostly showing.
So it's like the base of the iceberg.
That's the inner ear, the base of the iceberg.
I thought the outer.
The tip would be the outer ear, right?
No, but I'm suggesting there's not as much inside as outside. Because there's got so much going on outside. You can't have that much inside your head.
Upside down iceberg.
The tip of the upside down iceberg.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah.
So it is like you impaled your head on an iceberg, the pointy bit is in the center of the head.
And then yes. the doctor
exactly, David.
The doctor looks in your other ear. The doctor looks in your other ear and he goes, "Luckily, it's only the tip of the iceberg that's inside your ear." But that's a good thing, right?
Okay. What would you have to if we could get icebergs, because the tip of the iceberg that only applies when the iceberg is floating in water, right? If the iceberg was floating in something more dense, like honey or a really thick oil, then the tip of the iceberg would be much more, I imagine. It would float a lot higher.
Mm.
That depends if the iceberg is itself made of honey or oil. It's like honey ice or oil ice.
Vanilla ice.
I mean, that could just be done with just a little bit of sort of flavoring.
Mm.
You know, I think that you could actually achieve that really easily by going.
It sounds delicious.
Do you think do you think we could flavor the ocean without affecting it too much?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah? I feel like we could. Like, you don't need that much cordial to have an effect on the flavor of
something. It's already got like a salty kind of flavor. Mm.
Yeah, so we can it's almost like a ramen soup kind of thing.
So do you think that maybe caramel, if we added caramel flavor?
Salted caramel.
Salted caramel. Like, I think we could come up with some sort of chemical where humans are really good at this. Yeah. Coming up with some sort of chemical.
And tipping it in the ocean. We're also really good
at that.
We're
great at that, right? But we're great at coming up with chemicals that don't affect nature in any negative way, or at least as far as we're aware for a period of about 30 years before it becomes clear that it really does.
See, I like this because this is kind of like turning one of our flaws, accidentally tipping chemicals into the ocean.
Exactly.
Making chemicals and pouring them into the ocean.
Yes.
And trying to do something positive with it.
Mm, it's like in a job interview, if all of humanity was in a job interview and somebody asked us what our weaknesses were, we'd try and make them sound like a strength.
I guess I tip a little too many chemicals into the ocean.
Exactly.
I'm a workaholic when it comes to tipping chemicals into the ocean.
Yeah, so if that's going to be a problem...
So, yeah, I think there's a sketch in which we flavor the ocean. Like, what is the negative of this? What's the downside?
None.
It's salted caramel. The ocean is now salted caramel. It doesn't affect any of the wildlife. We've already established that in the premise, right?
Yeah.
Plants or whatever. There's no long-term consequences that we're aware of, and we checked a bit, right? And now when you go swimming or whatever, mouthful... I don't, you know.
And so what's the worst that'll happen? It'll just lead people to drink loads of seawater.
And what's that going to do? Lower the sea level.
Yeah.
Oh, because we'll go pee onto regular land.
Regular land.
Which the ocean is irregular land.
Right.
Highly irregular.
And then does our body desalinate?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
You need to keep drinking fresh water.
Sure.
Damn.
that would be one place you could get it.
We're not putting caramel in the lakes, though. This is just in the ocean.
Oh, yeah,
you're
right. It'll
still be fresh water.
Okay, good. No, I was just
hoping... not stupid.
I was just hoping we were going to add to the supply of fresh water in the world. I thought this will be a really positive thing.
I mean, this would be incredible if we only just discovered at this point that the human body produced fresh water, that urine was fresh water.
Well, it's fresh urine.
It is fresh. Yeah. Is this fresh? Yes.
You know, but I guess if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't take out any salt, I guess you could just run it through a few times.
Run it through again. It's got to take out some salt. Unfortunately, I don't think that's the way the human body works, because I think that in order for the body to take out salt, the salt would have to be going somewhere in the poo. You think it would be coming out?
I think
out
it just
poo.
Goes into your body.
Into your body, and then what happens to it? It builds up.
Salty body.
Salty bod. Salty sea bod.
Sweat it out.
You could sweat it out. Then it just crusts on your arm.
And then you scrape that off onto a pasta or something.
Salty pasta. Do you guys put salt on pasta?
I put salt on everything.
Pasta while we're cooking it, I think.
Right, like in the boiling water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just get some seawater, really. I should
just absolutely
go down to the beach.
You're
save some time.
You're wasting water, you're wasting salt. and
an opportunity.
An opportunity to go down to the seaside. Yeah, just the
greatest opportunity cost.
Yeah, breathe in some of that seaside-y smell.
Can you write down salted caramel ocean?
You bet.
Yes.
Or caramelized ocean? What do you say? Caramelized? Well, that's different. You want salted caramelized caramel ocean.
I mean, I guess you could also make...
Does water caramelize? How long would you have to... If you just sort of fry it on the pan there for long enough?
For a while? Kind of brown?
Probably not. I think it... just evaporate, right?
Yeah, right. That's a goddamn shame.
But things caramelize when a bit of the water evaporates. I think it's probably just a question of quantities, right? Like, you'd have to evaporate a lot of water, but, like, whatever's left behind, you get caramelized water.
Chlorine?
Sure. No, just caramelized water.
Okay. You could. I think... Wait...
That's how a salt pan works, right? That's how they make salt.
Oh, they make what they
from seawater.
So it's just caramelizing water, seawater.
Caramelized seawater.
The sun caramelizes the water, and just leaves you with salt.
Yeah, and then you get that sweet salty taste. That.
Yeah.
Do they just do a very thin layer of water, or do they think they do like a couple of inches? Do you know about that?
I reckon they'd keep it pretty thin.
Yeah.
But maybe, I consider also a couple of inches is pretty thin for water.
Depends how big the area is.
That's true. I guess if it's sort of just like, you know, like a cubic centimeter.
Yeah, that's not a very big area.
No, and you'd almost not call it a pan unless you were very small.
No, I wouldn't call that a pan, especially not if it was a couple of inches deep. I'd say like that's not a pan.
Yeah, but it depends on how
doll's house.
Yeah, for a doll's house, sure that would make sense. But
you ever watch Tiny Kitchen? You ever watch those videos?
Is that a cooking show?
It's like an Instagram channel. It's people making things with a very tiny kitchen, tiny utensils, and tiny oven and stuff.
It's one of these new things that, like, it feels like it's kinky in some way, but we haven't worked out how yet. You're definitely a pervert for liking it.
Yeah.
I
absolutely.
I've seen one of those where somebody made a plastic toilet, and then I think in the cistern, it's a tiny plastic toilet, and then in the cistern they poured like a sugary, powdery type thing, and they add water and it kind of foams up, and then it comes out the bowl. And then they put a straw in there, and then they drink it, and then they clean the toilet. And that was the whole video I saw.
Was this miniature toilet like the size of a glass that you would drink like a coffee out of? Or is it like tiny, tiny, like
It was probably like the size of your thumb, maybe two thumbs.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, two thumbs.
So like a doll's toilet.
That's gross.
Well, yeah.
I love that you needed to specify the size of the toilet to know if it was gross or not. Like, what's the threshold?
Well, if it was just a regular glass, you know, a thing for holding a drink, I mean, that's fine. It's just a novelty
glass.
It's
a novelty, right?
Why would you go to the effort of making a tiny toilet and then drink out of it?
That's sick. Gross. Well,
I guess you don't know if a doll's been in it. You know, there's always that risk. Or I guess there's always the risk that somebody has made a doll or has used the toy. If you're using your regular human-sized mouth to drink from it, if you're in the kind of circles of people who do that, there is a risk that somebody who's used their regular-sized urethra to pee into it.
Mm.
You know, maybe like full-size chemicals to...
We've established that there's one person in the world who uses their regular-sized something to do something to it. So... Mm-hmm. What's to stop another person equivalently using their equivalently regular-sized other thing to do a different thing to it?
That's right.
Yeah.
I think I have watched a little bit of that.
Tiny Kitchen.
But when they cook, are they cooking on actual heat or are they just pretending to cook?
No, it's a small oven. Mm. Well, it looks like an oven. But in the bottom of it, they just light one of those little tea candles, small candle, and... Mm. Yeah, so there's enough heat that comes from that, and they only cook, you know, like if you're making a roast or something in real life, you'd cook it for like an hour.
Yeah.
But in this, they only cook it for like 30 seconds.
So it's unhygienic.
Well, I think they wash their hands beforehand.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily sound like it's unhygienic. I mean, if it cooks through, if it just gets to the right temperature.
Yeah, it's a really small amount of food, so it doesn't need to. Mm. There's a large surface area to volume ratio.
The surface area to volume ratio.
Yeah. See, now you're speaking Andy's
language.
One
of my favorite ratios.
Now you're on board. What? That's why insects are so strong.
Yeah, right. Surface area to... Yeah, what is it? Surface
it's
area
just their exoskeleton, you know, compared to the amount of material inside them, they can lift several times their own weight.
I don't think that's true. I don't think it's the surface area to volume ratio of the
you don't think so?
Insect.
No?
No.
What do you think it is?
That's got something to do with it.
Well, then why would that be your favorite ratio if it doesn't have to do cool things like that?
Because what it does is it allows a bear to curl up into a ball in the winter and reduce its heat loss. That's a cool fact about surface area to volume ratio.
I reckon surface area to volume has a lot to do with the ability of an ant to lift something. 15.
I don't think the surface area matters one iota.
Really?
Yes. Oh, it'd be something else.
You are going to shit when some.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But he writes in and says, I'm a surface area to density or whatever it was, scientist, and I'm about to fuck you up with my dissertation, and
hey,
you're never going to stop shitting.
You, me, your dissertation outside behind the bike sheds.
Yeah, and then you're going to go, I got a chalkboard out here. Let me show you some
PowerPoint. No one ever does anything in front of the bike sheds. I honestly don't think bike sheds even need a front. Just build the back. Save money.
Ride your bike.
You could ride your bike at the front.
No one ever says they're going to do that.
No, well, that's the thing is that you do bad things in the back, you do good things in the front. So let's say you're a good man.
Build
right?
a bike
you
shed with nothing. Two fronts.
If you're a good man, you do nothing in the back of the bike shed because that's all it takes for you to be to do something
doing
bad.
Doing something bad.
But then if you're a good person, if you're a bad person, you go in the front to do nothing.
Nothing in the front.
That's probably where they hold the award ceremony.
The award ceremony?
At the front of the bike sheds.
That we had at the beginning that bad men get.
Oh, right. Where they get their bystander medal.
They get their bystander medal.
Their bike shed.
In the front of the bike shed.
Medal.
Bike shed, bystander.
Sketch idea.
Okay.
Opposite bullies or nice bullies.
Yes.
Yeah.
They threaten. They still threaten. But they threaten.
Well, this doesn't sound nice.
They're good threats?
Oh, yeah. They threaten to meet you out the front of the bike sheds after school and give you...
A cigarette.
Yeah.
And a firm handshake.
And a firm handshake. There you go.
Sure, I think they could do something nicer.
Yeah. Well, both of those suggestions
two
came from
cigarettes.
You guys.
Give you two cigarettes.
Two cigarettes. You're right. Oh, my God. That's so nice.
And two handshakes.
Two firm handshakes.
Two firm ones.
No, it's not two, but it's two firm.
Oh, it's too firm. Oh, no. He used both meanings of the word too. Okay, here it is. Now, so we got bully bullies, nice bullies, and then we got confusing bullies. And he says, I'm going to give you...
18
bees. Right? And then he gives you 9...
Buzzing bees.
And then he gives you 7, the letter bees. And then he gives you 2,
the
opportunities to be. Confusing bullies. Oh, and he's threatening you. And himself.
With a knife.
With a bee. the opportunity to.
I like that. I'd take that over an ordinary bully, because at least there's a chance that there might be something nice as part of that.
And if you kill a confusing bully, you become one.
Wow.
Like the Santa Claus. We were just... you know, like, because we were just talking about that movie. In the hallway, right? Somebody was saying...
I wasn't part of this conversation.
They must have been part of a conversation yesterday or something like that, where they were saying that the Santa Claus is actually, with Tim Allen, is actually a horror film. Right, because I guess he kills him. I'm not sure if it's an accident. I can't remember if he does it on purpose.
Yeah, he purposely
kills Santa. He
purposefully kills Santa.
Well, no, the original plot. I read an article a couple of days ago. Tim Allen originally he was supposed to shoot Santa.
All right.
Yeah, because he thought he was a trespasser.
That seems very believable.
It does in America, and I think they had to take it away because it was all too real. And anyway. Then it made it. He accidentally knocks him off the roof.
Yeah, he startles him and knocks Santa off the roof. Even though you would think Santa would be used to that sort of thing because he does it millions of times a year.
That's his habitat.
Yeah. So that he's like a person with sea legs, but he's got roof legs.
Roof legs.
he's actually just naturally got one leg longer than the other. Like a goat. I don't know if a goat does that, but that would really help him if it did.
That would be so great. Although then they'd only be able to go one way around the mountain.
Well, this is the great thing about Santa, which is Christmas God. He has both legs are longer than the other.
That's really handy. Yeah.
That's his only superpower.
Bystander man.
He's
a superhero.
Yeah.
But he's a bystander. So
he's first on the scene.
Yeah. he can hear when something's happening from across the globe and get there like that to watch.
That's pretty good.
And he does.
But he's a bad man.
Well, I guess so, yeah, because he doesn't do anything.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
He gets there real fast.
He's a first responder.
Mm.
And he gets to do a lot of interviews, I guess, like bystander interviews. Oh, my God, yeah, it was incredible. Like, the truck just came flying off the edge of the overpass and then, landed down over there where all the kids are in the playground and, it was screaming and flames.
And it's what the thing that alerts him.
And then he's off.
And then there's a crime. It's his bystandy sense. You know, and he goes.
My bystandy sense is tingling.
and he quickly swings between buildings to get there. But he's actually got a regular swing. Sorry. That's too weird.
He's got a regular swing.
Like a kid's swing. instead of a web.
Bystander man, the least involved one of them all. Whoa!
Oh.
I filmed it on my phone.
And he's the reason that there's these, that paranoid people have suspicions that all the people who witness crimes that all these people are actors
because they're always they see the same people again or something like that.
And it just happens that the reason why he's always there is because he both has the ability to know where crimes are and the urge to go watch crime happen.
And he wears a superhero costume, the big B on it.
Yeah, right.
When by B I mean the opportunity to be something.
So wait, what I was going to say before about the Santa Claus thing is that they were saying that this is a friend, Matt and maybe Peter Thomas, both people who have also been on the show, Matt Stewart from Do Go On. Anyway, both they were good, saying that they think people. It's a horror movie because he kills Santa Claus and then against his will, he sort of becomes Santa Claus and he can't kind of escape that thing. Right?
Yeah, that's his life now.
That's his life now. Mm. So maybe
his body changes and yeah.
But I thought, what if, it's that. So if you could just make it into something a little bit more scary, it's like the guy kills an orange like this, right? And he's got a bag of oranges. He's just cutting them regular
day. Killing heaps of oranges.
Yeah, he's killing heaps, but there was one magic orange.
Oh, no.
That had the orange claws, like that big document, like the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, and there was and, if, and, it was, and it states that if you kill this orange,
they call it the Fanta Clause.
The Fanta Clause. And if you kill this orange, then you will become an orange. And so then this, it'll be similar. You could almost do shot for shot as like this movie. Right?
Well, there's I don't know. I don't know if you can do shot for shot. I think some of the scenes on the sled and then, would be a bit out of place.
Well, you could be on a bag of oranges. Is that right?
Oh, the orange that travels around on a bag of oranges. You know what oranges are like.
Does he deliver
classic
oranges?
Orange. Oh, yeah, good? No, that's what a magic orange does. Right. Travels around on a bag of oranges delivering oranges.
On Orange Christmas.
The Santa Claus.
Yeah. And then there'll be that scene where he's like looking in the mirror and he's shaving, and then he slowly then he turns into an orange.
And then he shaves the.
Yeah.
And
then he turns more into an orange. Then eventually he can't move. You know? He can't move, he's just an orange. You know?
Then how's he supposed to do all those things if he can't move? How's he supposed to travel the world delivering oranges if he can't move?
He rolls.
I assume,
golf course.
Yeah, right. Or I assume that maybe wherever he comes from, there's like, you know, kind of like Santa Claus has the North Pole. This guy might have like...
Orange County.
Yeah, Orange County. That's right. And then he has like a bunch of elves or like, you know, or
immigrant fruit pickers.
Yeah, immigrant fruit pickers. And they know about his magic bag of oranges that allows him to go around and deliver oranges on the day of his, of Jesus's birth. Jesus being one of the foreign fruit pickers, the first foreign fruit picker.
Yeah, I mean that all checks out. Yeah.
But the way that it's different to Pickle Rick, I want to make sure that this is not anything like Pickle Rick, because Pickle Rick, he made himself a pickle. But then he
made himself like a rat body.
Well, yeah, but then I want you to know that he doesn't have a face like Pickle Rick does.
Oh, it's so different.
So he can't see anything.
So different.
And also he doesn't have the ability to sense.
Or think.
Because he's an orange now. And all the decisions are made by his employees.
But it actually brings him closer to his children.
But if somebody... but this is... Yeah, it brings him closer to his children. But I guess... What he's hoping for is that at some point someone will kill him.
God, he just wants the sprint release of death.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's all... He can't think, but all he know, he is allowed to think is, God, I long for the sweet release of death.
And then you find out that all oranges...
Yes.
...are just people. They were once people.
Every time he comes to somebody's house to deliver oranges, they knock on the door and they say... he knocks on the door and they say, who's there? He says... Orange.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Orange.
Orange. Orange who?
And then silence.
That's a fucking... That's the trailer for the film. It's a real horror film. So I don't know. Should I write that down?
Yeah, the Fanta Claus.
The Fanta Claus.
I want to see how this is achievable from the point of view of setting up, obviously, the quite complicated mythology of the orange,
yeah,
that delivers oranges, while still leaving enough space to be a parody of the Santa Claus.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, but we didn't get into this business for.
That's what you train for as a writer. So that you could achieve things like this.
Now, do we have some words from a listener? Because obviously our podcast is supported by Patreon supporters who chip in a couple of bucks and are able to send us words that we then try and turn into a sketch. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're very good, and
that's
sometimes
right.
They're nice. And we thank you for supporting us on Patreon.
Thank you. .com/thinktank Thank you very much, everybody. Did you know, David, that
or
one
two
day...
Or in Tank. I don't know which
Oh, yeah. What is it? Patreon.com/2in Tank
Two in Tank.
Yeah. One day, David, we got our Patreon money. This is like, you know, occasionally I can get around to taking it off the website.
Mm.
And I sent Andy a few $100 that he... That belonged was his share. We give $100 a month to George, Andy's brother who edits the podcast. And anyway,
that's nice.
Yeah, it's real nice. Well, it's also nice that he edits it for us.
That's,
I mean, when I say
really
nice. Yeah, he does all the audio stuff. Anyway, Andy says to me a couple days later, he goes, you know what, Andy? It was really great that you sent me that money because I wasn't going to be able to pay my mortgage. See?
And, I don't know why you have to keep bringing up this story, Alistair. Are we all that close to the line right now?
We're pretty close to the line. Yeah.
Look, I don't have any kids though.
Yeah. Well, it's a spooky time.
And I keep having more kids. And that line, it keeps getting closer.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm running. But I'm an orange. I can't get anywhere.
But luckily, my magic bag lifts me up. No, but that line's getting real close.
Anyway, you guys are my magic bag. That's all we're saying.
That's all we're saying, everybody. And, okay, so today's listener is Joe Dunker.
Joe Dunker. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joe Dunker. And just in case,
gift.
I'm going to say it could also be Joe Dunker. So just in case.
It could be.
At this point, I can't remember.
Is it a male or female Joe?
It's with an E, I think. But that could still be Joe Safine.
Could be.
Joe Safine.
Or, thanks, Joe.
Or Joe. Or Joseph. Or Joel.
Or Go. If it's a soft J.
Yeah. Or
if or is it a hard J?
I think it's a hard J.
Or if they're, South American or something, it could be Ho. Or Yo. Anyway, so thank you, Yo Dunker. His or her. I should have just checked the image. Their three words are another, sausage, sketch. So
okay, so I assume this is a reference to the episode Too Many Sausages, in which we came up with something like 5 sausage-based sketches in the one episode.
Yeah.
Was that a sausage factory of an episode?
It was a real sausage fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to say, it was great, and we were really outputting, and we were filling up those sketches with disgusting meat.
Mm. That is the expression, isn't it? Nobody likes to see the sausage being made.
Which is almost a description of what this podcast is.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Khrushchev who said that, I think.
The Russian Khrushchev?
Yeah, whatever.
Dunker?
Khrushchev Dunker? He said that?
I think that was his quote. He said,
but he probably said it in a Russian accent or something like that, didn't he?
And probably said it in Russian as well. It was like politics is like a sausage, you know. You don't want to see how it's made behind the scenes or something like that.
Was he saying that to a sausage maker, like a butcher?
I imagine he was, yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting because I believe that in the Soviet Union, a lot of politics is putting people through meat grinders or was.
It could still be.
It's coming back, I think.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of having a bit of a forceful, which you got to be when you're pushing someone into a meat grinder.
Oh, you got to be forceful. Yeah. You can't be squeamish, you know? It's not for the faint-hearted pushing people through a meat grinder.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I think a lot of people these days, they think that they can do it. But they don't, you know.
Somewhere out there, there's a guy who pushes people into meat grinders, but is the nicest guy who pushes people through meat grinders.
Wow.
Is it a regular meat grinder or is it a nice meat grinder?
Well, there would be one for each category. There would be a nicest guy who pushes someone through a meat grinder, which is, I suppose, a nice meat grinder, which I suppose is one that puts you into a better shape.
Do you think that do you...
It still grinds you down, you're in better shape at the end of it. Yeah. It's actually an improvement.
Right.
You go through and you come out with abs and things like that. I mean, you get ground down to mush. And then,
so you come out and you've got like abs and everything, but like your body is now all a uniform human paste.
Sausage paste. Yeah.
Do you think that the best guy who puts people through meat grinders is better than the worst guy who doesn't put people through meat grinders? You know, like where do they cross over?
I would say that the nicest person who puts somebody through meat grinders is probably nicer than the worst person who doesn't push people through meat grinders. Because he could do other things like
exactly.
He could push people into like vats of boiling hot liquid.
Oh,
metal.
You're right. He said Yeah. But then he could have other redeeming qualities. you know?
What kind of redeeming qualities do you think this guy who holds people's heads into hot liquid metal?
If anything, he works too hard.
There you go.
Putting if people anything, into liquid
if
hot metal.
If anything, I push too many people into hot molten liquid metal.
He's always making his quota.
That's right. And he's a hard worker. And he probably gets pay raises all the time, which makes his wife proud of him.
Yeah, if I employed a guy who pushed people into hot liquid metal, I would give him heaps of pay rises. I certainly wouldn't try and, you know, talk him out of getting a pay rise in a meeting down by the vats when I go to meet, you know. He said,
you're suggesting that
you near the vats.
So this is you're his employer.
Yeah, I'm his employer. I would give him almost anything he asked for, I think.
What a powerful bargaining position.
Yeah, better gloves.
And how do you think that this employer sort of keeps this industry that he runs, like this business that he runs, without overrunning costs?
Right, when his employees, because wages are always your biggest cost.
Biggest cost, right.
And
he has no power to say no to pay raises.
Well, I guess then you really need to employ someone else, maybe the meat grinder guy.
The nice meat grinder
guy? The nice meat grinder guy.
Or the regular meat grinder guy.
I think of the nice meat grinder guy, but to just to feel like you have some bargaining power over the VAT guy.
Yeah, right. So he's...
But then you're in a different situation entirely.
But wait. So he's the nice grinder guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, not the guy who pushes people into the nice meat grinder.
That's right.
That makes them into better shape.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The boss could get nice grinded, and then he'll look tougher.
Right.
Maybe giving him a better...
But he'll be a uniform. He'll be a uniform paste.
Yeah.
Which makes it harder. Like, while he's superficially in a better negotiating position, his ability to negotiate from that position is going to be reduced by being a uniform paste.
You know where I reckon it would affect you the most going through that?
Tell me.
I think it would be in your eyes, because your eyes would be the same color as the rest of your flesh. You know, and then I think people would really be able to tell. They go, have you recently been through a nice meat grinder?
Thanks for noticing.
Yeah, thanks for... Well, yes, I have. You know, I know you've got these great
abs.
They'd
look at your abs and say, your abs are great.
Yeah.
But your eyes are the same color as the rest of your flesh.
Yeah.
Which has got little flecks of bone throughout it.
I guess if you had like a collection of gristle around part of the outside of the eye where the conjunctiva would be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then it could at least sort of, you know, I guess that would just only be by luck.
Yeah.
But you would kind of, it would at least
start.
Whoa,
what luck. My lucky day. I should go buy a lottery ticket. All this gristle around where the conjunctiva would be.
Is the conjunctiva the part of the eye, or is that the sort of sleep stuff that's in your eye?
I think it's the white part. I think it's the egg white.
Right.
I think because that's the part that gets infected in conjunctivitis.
Yeah, I love that word.
I know.
Good word.
I hope it's correct, because my dad told it to me years ago, and I've definitely...
And you would hate to have your faith in him destroyed at this...
I mean, at this point, you know, we've lived such a pretty good life together. It would be awful for us
to... Such a pretty good life.
Such a pretty good life.
Now, here's a different angle on things, and we're sort of based around the get you into better shape thing. Why are there no meat babies? And by that I mean, we have sausages. They're a tube. They're an unspecified tube shape. We have jelly babies. We're happy to eat lollies in the shape of people. We're even happy to eat gingerbread in the shape of people. But there are no meat products that are in the shape of people. And I think that this is a gap in the market.
Yep.
Not necessarily for cannibals. I don't think you have to be a cannibal to enjoy a sausage baby. But, you know.
David, you seem like you have a question.
Oh, it just reminded me of a Simpsons reference. Marge makes meatloaf men in the episode. So they're like gingerbread men, except it's made out of meat. But I don't think that exists as a real thing.
Right. Then the Simpsons, what they did in the Simpsons, I think that would be fine.
Well, maybe the way that we could separate it a little bit is by firstly, not making it as a comedy. We could make it as a real company.
Great.
Right? And second of all, we could, rather than, this is the problem with Gingerbread Man and Jelly Babies and even these Meatloaf Men. Mm.
They're not realistic.
They're both not realistic, but also they're quite general. And I think if you made specific people out of meat.
That is great. Like a range of celebrity endorsements. You could get all of the Richmond football team or something like that. That's as a pack of sausage men.
That's the thing. So many
numbers on the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, numbers on the back. That's all done in sesame seeds or something like that.
Or out of meat.
Out of meat. Yeah. Even better. More meat.
Could just be veins or something.
Yeah, or it's seared onto them. Like, you know, sometimes you get the pre-seared burgers and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think maybe the whole sausage should be made in a mold.
Oh, yeah.
You know, instead of like that whatever that tube is, just fill it up with a mold. Right? Yep. And then afterwards you stamp like a kind of a food paint on it.
Food paint.
So that it actually looks like the whole team.
Looks like the whole team. They're all flesh-colored already. They're all, you know, they've got their little outfits on and stuff.
Yep. And then the kids, they'll fight over which player they want to eat.
Yeah.
Which one they don't want
to
eat.
Are you having trouble getting your kids to eat their sausages? Yeah. Oh, well, the new Richmond Football Club tie-in sausage man pack, you know, is out now. And they all want to eat their own halfback.
That's right. Yeah, and you could do it with whatever. Like, you could do it for every... you could even do it, I think, with sort of broccoli and carrots and things like that. Maybe you could grow... You know, like in Japan, they grow...
Sausage in the shape of a broccoli or a carrot.
Yeah, so sausage that looks like, you know, like looks like three types of vegetables, Brussels sprouts.
Mm. What about this? We also do loaves of bread that look like little... Or slices of bread that look like a little stretcher. So it can be like the man is being carried off the field.
That's
really
good.
You put a bit of tomato sauce on there because he's got a cut above his eye or whatever.
Yeah,
and then
it has to go off because of the blood rule.
Because of the blood rule, exactly, the tomato sauce rule, and then straight into your kid's mouth. Come on, I wish I knew the name of a single football player is coming off the field. Open up the doors to the sick bay. Kid opens his mouth, you shove the sausage in there, he bites his head off. It screams as well. There's a little... thing in there that makes it scream. Yeah, there you go.
One of those.
More of a scream of agony.
More like
more appropriate.
More like that.
Yeah, see, that's fun.
I like that. It could just be like a. You could put like a real animal's sort of like throat, like voice box in there, and then just pack it with air. Pack it with air so that when you bite, the air comes out.
Widget. I've never felt anything scream inside my mouth before.
Oh, no.
You haven't lived.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, me, obviously. I've never felt me scream inside my mouth.
You've never bitten the head off a chipmunk or anything like that?
Not that I remember. Not recently.
Mm. Well,
not within living memory.
But, you know, you forget a lot of your life.
I think we've got a good number of sketches there, and I hope, Joe, that you're... You're happy with your sausage sketch. You're another sausage sketch.
Specific
football team.
Football team.
That's good.
I feel we could sell this as an ad. Do you think you could sell that idea as an ad?
I mean, Jesus Christ, the garbage that they already do make. If they didn't buy this.
I had another great idea for an ad. Can I tell you my great idea for an ad?
I'd be disappointed.
I don't know what it's an ad for, right? But it feels like the sort of thing that they'd make an ad for on Australian TV. And it's almost like a parody of like a public health announcement of some kind, right? But it's about people who are left hanging in high fives, right? So the message is like, you know, you see some people celebrating and then somebody goes up for a high five and then the person they're going to high five like hugs someone next to them or something, and they're just left hanging there, and it goes into slow motion. Then we see another scenario where that's happening, and another scenario, and then it's like every year, thousands of Australians are left hanging, right? And slow, sad music plays as we see all these people with their hands up, like slowly lowering them. And then it's something like, watch out for your mates and be aware. And then, like, someone else comes in and, like, gives them the high five, and then footage speeds up again, and then everybody's celebrating again, and it's, you know, back, music's back, and it's like good times and that sort of thing. And it's like, yeah, don't leave a mate hanging. And then it's an ad for, I don't know, fucking superannuation or dog vaccinations. Or, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just one of those ideas.
I thought it would be an ad for some sort of service that actually gives people high fives so they're not hanging.
Yeah, that
like
is
a charity.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, or like
community
any
service.
Any you're right. It's a thing where people wear like a vest, an orange vest or something, and there whenever there's like a social event or something, you employ them so they're there to like pick up the hanging high fives.
Like a security guard.
Like a security guard, but like a personal... A
designated high fiver.
Mm. Mm.
They would be really alert. If they could be a little referee type character, that would also work in an ad type thing. They'd love that. Like a little high energy little referee type character. Yeah. He's running up and down the sidelines of the party, always keeping an eye out to see if anything's happening. And he'll come in and he'll complete the hanging high fives.
I feel like I almost burst my kidneys holding in that sneeze.
Don't hold it in.
I know, I didn't mean to. I was trying to just soften the outpact.
Oh, thanks for trying. Yeah.
The outpact is the reverse of impact.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Even though it's not in pact.
Anyway, the high five guy.
Should I write that down?
Yeah, if you want. This is an idea I had.
But it feels like...
It'd be a good ad. That's my contention for like something.
All right, we're going to go through the sketches.
Okay.
It's because I'm going to get hot in here. Okay, we've got one true bystander, which is, it's got to be a bad man. So it's like that's like the one true hero, but he's got to be a bad man doing nothing. Because if it was a good man and they were doing nothing, then that's bad.
That's bad.
That's all it takes for bad things to happen.
Yeah.
And if it's a good person doing something, then they're not a bystander. They're just a helper. They're like the first responder.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Or a hero. Then we got the performing CPR.
What did we settle on for this one? There was so much. Something to do with the Bee Gees.
I mean, the best way to perform CPR is accompanied by the Bee Gees.
Yes.
Potentially at a hospital, but that's not necessary.
Yeah.
But if possible... on one of the members of the Bee Gees.
Mm.
Because then there's a chance that you, if they don't make it, they might appreciate your staying alive skills.
And get
you into the band. Because I think there might only be Barry. Mm. Barry left. Is it just Barry Gibbs left?
I was spotted doing CPR on one of the members of the Bee Gees. And while he slipped away, my performance, my rhythm... I kept time so well.
Well, they could keep you in time.
Mm.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Like that.
Slipping away. Slipping away.
And then we got Nice Jail, which is a place for people who haven't done anything wrong. You know, and that's for bad men who
take him away.
Bad men who haven't done anything, which is a good thing. So you.
Send them to Nice Jail where there's a beautiful bench.
There's a long bench and it's a beautiful room.
It'd be great in court because it's when they say, Your Honor, can I approach the bench? And they say, my one or that really nice soft one over there in the corner?
Over in Nice Jail.
What do you think? What do you think, Your Honor? You be the judge.
Where's the judge in the Nice Jail? Or Nice Jail in the courtroom?
No, there's a court. There's a courtroom.
Nice court.
Oh, right. Yeah. Nice court. They have long benches as well.
Yeah, but not as long as in the Nice Jail.
Okay.
They're
still nice.
They've got to give you something to look forward to.
Yeah.
You don't put your longest benches out in the court because, you know, that destroys all the imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they could be nice in a different way. They could have a beautiful texture.
Oh, they could be nice. Like that. Things could be nice in more than one way.
Exactly. Well, just a real nice, cool, refreshing temperature. You know, like you touch something and you go...
I was expecting that to be a bit clammy.
But this is kind of like a bit cool, but refreshing.
That's
but,
the best temperature,
but not
isn't it?
Cold.
A bit cool, but refreshing, but not cold.
Yeah.
Best temperature. Mm.
You know, you could sit on it with bare skin without like going, whoa, let's shiver up your
and
spine.
I don't think I can ever be too refreshed, to be honest.
It's hard. I mean, I'd try.
Oh, yeah.
You can drown from drinking too much water. Does that count as...
Can you?
Yeah. You can
Water poisoning.
That's not drowning. It's water poisoning. Different thing.
Yeah, but what if you have so much water in you that it goes to the top of your throat and then it starts pouring into the lung hole. So you must feel like a real idiot now. Ear wallet. Then we got ear wallet slash pocket. So it's, you know, this is for people who have no pockets or choose to, you know, let pockets go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the lottery, which is the bad lottery, but we don't call it that.
No.
Yeah. It's just a lottery that gives you money.
Why don't we call it the bad lottery?
Because it's the lottery.
I mean, that after, as soon as you guys started calling it the lottery, my brain was shouting out, why are they calling it the bad lottery?
No, because
they... We're like, I'll go along with it, but no, this doesn't
the the regular lottery is actually the nice lottery.
Yeah, because it'd be confusing for people.
But then why is it the lottery?
Well, because...
It just is.
Because jail is jail. So
this is just lottery.
No, because then...
Yeah, you could just call it that if you wanted to save time. That would be acceptable.
Sure, but then, look, here's the problem.
I feel the listeners are going to know who's right on this one.
Some people will have been born before, you know, like after anyone had ever called it lottery, and they'll know the convention of the double thing means the bad one because of jail.
But were we calling jail?
Yeah. Jail is going to be called jail.
So, but and the bad one is called...
The good one is called nice jail.
Right.
The bad one is jail.
All right. You've convinced me.
Yeah, great. Lottery.
To kill myself.
Then we got salted caramelized ocean.
Yep.
Yeah, and then... I mean, there'll be some problems with that.
No. I established in the premise that won't be any problems with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's all benefit.
I forgot how we were writing that one. Sorry, it's my fault. That was a misreading on mine. I didn't write down no problems. Then we got bystander man. This is the guy who's got the bystandy sense.
Yes. And bystandy. That'll be my... I'll be him. Bystandy Matthews.
I thought David was going to play him.
Sure. I could just stand over here and Andy could play him.
I mean, you could be the bystander to the bystander man.
Mm.
Yeah.
His sidekick?
Yeah. Is it bystander man?
The man standing by.
Yeah.
The man.
Man standing by bystander man.
That's right. We use an acronym.
Well, MSBBSMM.
That's my name.
You just put that on in just huge bold letters.
Yeah, can you give me a vowel in there?
Then we got the Fanta Claus. It's essentially the Fanta Claus, the Santa Claus, but you know, you become an orange. Then we got the nice meat grinder.
He lives at the North Peel. Orange County. Orange County.
And then, the nice meat grinder, which gives you, like, a better shape. We've really started this new pattern of the nice thing.
Yeah.
Really set the agenda for the list here.
Yeah, it's the theme. Then we got the liquid metal drowner. I'm just really interested in the business. The business.
I don't remember that one. What was
that one? He's the guy who's...
Put you to vets. He's nicer than the... He's not as nice as the nicest meat grinder man.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Liquid metal man.
Yeah, sorry. Liquid metal drowner, because he drowns people in liquid metal.
And you it is drowning, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the drowning that gets you, not the burning up of the liquid metal. I want to be clear, you drown.
Yeah.
And you know that if you drink too much liquid metal, you can drown? That's a fact.
Yeah, but
I believe you.
But you wouldn't be refreshed at all.
No.
Yeah, so it's just different in that
way. There's no benefits to that one.
Then you got meat people. This is specific celebrities that you make out of meat for this, especially like whole trays of sausages that are like turned into football teams and things like that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's a winner.
Oh, I mean, like...
Do you reckon it's real human hair as well, donated from the team on the
heads? Why not pig hair?
Why not pig hair? Why not pig hair?
I think they have short hair, which you only need short hair because they're quite small sausages.
Quite small. Most football players have got quite short hair anyway.
So this will be quite lucky. Yeah.
You know, unless we do in the women's teams.
Oh, we can do that. Yeah, we wouldn't not. Not do that. I think if you're starting this, you've got to, for every male team you're doing, you're making a female team.
Mm, you can have
gender quota.
Sausage fest. You could do half sausage men, half sausage women.
Yep.
And then, I guess for the women, you would use horse hair. So you can get longer hair. Or you could make the women's sausages smaller, chipolatas. You know, like that. So you can just...
Savaloys?
Savaloys, but just so you can use the same length hairs, but to get a bit more length out of it.
Yeah, that's great.
What about gender transitioning? Would you have them sure. represented with, like, trans fats in the sausage of some sort?
Look, I think that's absolutely doable. I think we're going to use the types of fats to communicate a lot of things.
Right.
In this.
I think that actually the AFL is currently working, is still working through that issue. That's a very vexed issue for the AFLW.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yes. They've recently banned someone, I think. I think they came down and they said that we're going to ban trans.
Okay. So we can hold off on the sausage decision until they figure that out.
I think you're absolutely correct.
Well, I don't know. I feel like we have an opportunity to be leaders here. And I think
that's true.
We could include trans people in the sausages.
In all the sausages, yeah. I think that's a fair thing to do.
And then they'll look to us, say, what are the sausage people doing?
What are the sausage people who make sausage representations of the people who play in our league doing?
Yeah.
It's like the local councils who are deciding to move their Australia Day celebrations before it has officially been moved.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're those little local councils.
But we're a big butchers.
Yes.
Human celebrity making butchers. But then we also make fictional people who don't yet play in their leagues.
Yeah.
Because
we're aspirational.
And then we've also just got High Five Guy. He's a guy, and it's an ad mostly.
Yep.
Of a guy who gets
comes
rejected.
Comes in and finishes the high fives.
And the high fives. And then it's for a company that finishes high fives, right?
Yeah, it could be, or it's an ad for any old fucking company.
Could be
it's
for perfume.
Like, you know, yeah, exactly. Perfume or retreading tires.
Nostril hair pluckers or whatever.
Nostril hair pluckers, exactly. Don't leave a mate hanging. That's great because you have those little hanging hairs and stuff and it ties in really well.
Ties in really well.
Really well.
Do they retread tires anymore or is that a thing they don't do anymore?
Fuck, I thought I got away with that as well, David, man. But I forgot that I was working with the Greenbow and he doesn't let you get away with shit like that. All right, I don't know for sure. I should have saved that for one of the podcasts where we didn't have.
Oh, you had that idea locked and loaded for months.
I did for months, and I thought this is the perfect opportunity to let it slip.
Well, I can spot an unrealistic idea far away.
Look, David, I would say I would be surprised if there aren't still companies out there that are retreading tires and then reselling them at a cheaper price. But I'm willing to be proven wrong.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you just thought you'd raise the doubt to make me look like an idiot on my own podcast.
Oh, you don't know either.
Yes, more doubt!
The same amount of doubt.
No. I feel like there's more.
There's exactly as much doubt.
Oh, no, because now I doubt your confidence.
What? I'm shouting. How can you doubt my confidence?
Oh,
it's the most confident volume. Loud!
Sounds like you're overdoing it now. Feels like you're doubt. Anyway. We're going to go back into the song, and then we're going to go into the wrap-up.
Yep. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast, too, in the think tank.
With Alistair and Andy and David M. Green.
David, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on there. I got a website. There's not much on there. It's davidmgreen.com.
Is that a good place to go to like get things like your very funny web series VHS review?
Yeah, I guess all the links. It's like a hub. So all the links to everything else is there. All the Twitter. Or you can just find me on Twitter. It's David_M_Green.
Great.
Because I was too slow getting the David M. Green. Someone else has got that.
I can't believe that.
Really sorry. I was pretty late to Twitter.
Yeah, I felt like I was kind of late, but I was still pretty early.
Yeah.
Compared to you, maybe.
I was hoping to get at Jack, but that was taken.
Damn.
Yeah.
To get that, you would have had to have invented Twitter, I think. There's your problem.
I came in just after they invented Twitter.
Pre-invented.
Yeah. Anyway. You can find me at... I'll put all the links to your stuff down below.
Sure.
Down in the links.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And yes, David's VHS review series.
It's very funny.
Thank you. There's an ad for retreading tires. That's what I
knew you'd bring this back up, Dave. You just can't let it go, can you?
Oh. Yeah, no, that's good. We're at 2 in Tank. I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
We'd love it if you it helps the podcast if you rate and review. We've had some reviews recently and we love them. But yeah, you know, if you have a chance to rate and review the podcast, it doesn't take very long at all. Just give us 5 stars.
Go on that Apple iTunes or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you can go on Microsoft iTunes.
Yep.
You can go on Stitcher iTunes, whatever you want to do.
Any of the iTunes you want to do. All right?
Yeah.
And then give us any prime number between 4 and 6 of stars.
Yep.
And that'd make my
And you can go on the Patreon, the $8 for the extra episodes, $3
extra episodes. The latest episode was very funny, episode of Magma.
There you go. And that's great. And also you can there's actually no limit on the amount of money that you can give.
Yeah, and so that that's
Andy,
crazy.
So that Andy can pay Alistair, his mortgage.
I would feel more comfortable if you didn't bring this up.
Andy, I feel like you're
I'm too proud.
You're doing so well in so many ways, and that it's so great to be able to sort of hold this over you.
So many of the numbers in my life are high numbers.
Yeah.
Number of children.
Yeah, you know.
Size of mortgage.
But money but left over one, after you, paying
your
mortgage.
Your free time, that would be pretty low.
Yeah, that's one of the low ones, right. Yeah. The number of free times I have.
If you guys can also donate free time to Andy through Patreon. Oh,
that would be so good.
Anyway, sorry about asking for money. I don't know why. I'm mostly joking, but then I can't remember. Then I'm not sure if I am. Anyway, I think that's it.
Yeah.
So we love you. Thank you, David. By the way.
Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.